Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews. We've been going through the book of Hebrews off and on for quite a while now. And we've come to chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13. And I have a very simple Bible study for us this morning. We're going to look at verse 1. Hebrews 13, verse 1 says, "Let brotherly love continue." When I read that in my study, every week, I sit down and I know I have X number of messages to preach throughout the week. And a lot of times on Monday morning, I want to go through everything and see what's in front of me and start to get my mind around things. And I turned to Hebrews 13, verse 1. I read four words, and as soon as I read those, I thought, amen. Amen. So be it. Is that not precious? To just cut through the sin of the flesh, cut through all of our weaknesses, everything that we are, and just let brotherly love continue. What a wonderful thing to let happen. What a wonderful thing to just get out of the way of and let it happen. Just let it happen. If my sinful flesh will just get out of its way, it will happen. It will happen. To say, let brotherly love continue, that's just like saying, let God be true. You don't have to let it. God is going to be true because God is true. And brotherly love is going to continue. It's going to. All I need to do is keep my flesh out of its way and keep my spirit, keep my soul in its way. I want to try to step my soul into its path every chance I can. Just let me step in the way. Lord, let me not hinder it. Let me not hinder it. Only let me encourage it. Let me strengthen it. Let me find enjoyment in it. Let brotherly love continue. Brotherly means family. Family. This is the family of God. This is the family of God. Last Wednesday night, we looked at the family of God. How precious the union is that we have in Christ. This right here is the family of everywhere that God's people are. I have my actual family here this morning, but usually they sit in another place on this earth. That doesn't stop us from being family. We're just as much family when they're over there as... And it's the same thing for all of the congregations that God has raised up all over the earth. Family. This is the family of God. Not like family. Not as close as if we were family. Ephesians 1 says, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world," before He made the ball, He chose His family. "That we should be holy." He selected people to be holy. "And without blame before Him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children." Don't you love knowing that every step you take is predestinated to a particular place? And what is that particular place? The adoption table, where the contract is signed. We are predestinated. Every one of us are being filtered to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. It's all according to His will, and His will is good. He adopted us. He adopted us. Now, who did He adopt? He didn't adopt everybody. Who did He adopt? Go with me over to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." I want to be in Christ. I really do. I want to be in Christ above everything else. I mean above everything else. I want to be in Christ. I do. I want to be in Christ. And I know that you do too. Those of you that the Lord has sent His Spirit to, I know you do. I know you want to be in Christ. Well, watch this. This is opened up to me, and this is just, I've just been taken by this. Verse 15 says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption." Every soul that God puts in Christ wants to be in Christ. Does that make sense? They don't just want heaven. They don't just want to see the golden streets and the pearly gates and the... They don't just want to not go to hell. They want to be in Christ. Every sinner that God has put in Christ has received the spirit of adoption. They want to be in Christ, all of them. And it goes on to say, "Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, joint heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." Glorified together with Him. Joint heirs with our elder brother. All of us crying, "Abba, Father." Go with me over to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, verse 31 says, "There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him." Our Lord was in a house preaching, and many were gathered around him, and they came and they were calling inside the house. Verse 32, "And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him and said, Behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God," whoever hears Christ. Didn't God the Father speak out loud and say, "This is my beloved Son, hear Him. Bow the knee to Him. Cry out to Him. Believe on Him. Look to the Lamb of God." He said in verse 35, "Whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." Let brotherly love love. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, made to be sons of God, allowed to be sons of God. Behold, what manner of love. Behold. Love is something that takes place in the heart, not in the mind. The mind can understand love, but love takes place in the heart. Love is something that is real. I mean, if it's true love, and I tell you, the best way we can quickly understand it or enter into it is look at our children. It's something that's real. It's something that lasts. Love is of God. It is of God. God is love. Go with me over to 1 Corinthians 13. First Corinthians 13, verse 1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, if I don't have, charity means love, if I don't have love. Look at verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, how important is faith in salvation, in eternal life? How important is faith? John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abides on him. How important is faith? That verse right there says, love is more important. It's more important than believing. How important is hope? Love is more important. It's greater. Verse 1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. He said, if I speak with the tongues of angels, those angels have so much love in their hearts. God's heaven is full of love. It is so full of love. So much love for the Almighty God who is seated on the throne. Can you imagine the affection that is poured out from an innumerable company of saints, an innumerable company of angels, as if the people were not big enough. You can't count them. God said it's also an innumerable company of angels. Cherubims and seraphims and whatever else God has created. Lions and lambs, right? They're going to feed together. All the affection is poured out to the Almighty on the throne. The Lord Jesus Christ who gave himself. That's never going to leave the front of the mind. Gave himself for his brethren. And that love continues to all the brethren that he gave himself for. Love is the principal thing in glory. It's just flowing with love. Verse 2 says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, and here he says it again, same thing he said in verse 13, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. This is really hit home to me as a pastor. It does not matter if I can preach. It don't matter. It makes no difference. None at all. It does not matter if I understand the mysteries of this book and I can stand up and take a passage of Scripture and see Christ in it and explain it and people say, now I see it. It doesn't matter. It makes no difference. It does not matter how confident I am in my God. If I don't have love in this heart, then my God says, I am nothing. I have nothing, and there's no place in God's heaven for me. Love, love. Verse 3 says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Man, what a wonderful thing. I would encourage you to do that. Just empty it. Feed the poor. Though I give my body to be burned for the truth's sake, if I don't have love, I should have just kept it for myself. I should have just gone on expensive vacations and just blown it all on me. It profits me nothing. Profits me nothing. Verse 4 says, love suffers long. Oh, it's so long-suffering. It's so long-suffering. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. It envies not. You think about your child. Think about your own child. When that child wins an award for something, are you jealous? Really? No. It's because love is there. Verse 4 goes on to say, love is not harsh, not rash. It does not vaunt itself. Love is not proud. It's not puffed up. It doesn't bow up. That's just not what love does. Verse 5 says, love does not behave itself in an inappropriate way. It's not unseemly. Love is not selfish. It does not seek her own. Love does not easily get angry. It's not easily provoked. Very difficult to make love angry. Love thinketh no evil. That means when you look it up in the concordance, it means does not take an inventory of, does not impute, does not lay to the charge, does not lay the charge of evil to the one it loves. Now, is this not our Lord? Is this not our Lord? If I can speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I don't have Christ, if I can argue doctrine with the best of them, but I don't have Christ, if I'm literally the kindest person and most generous person on this earth, but I don't have Christ, Christ suffers long. He suffered long. Oh, did he suffer long on that cross? And he suffers long. He keeps putting up with us. He keeps putting up with us. Why does he keep putting up with us? For Christ's sake. For his name's sake. Christ is kind. Oh, he's so kind. That beautiful weather out there, he's so kind. The just and the unjust. Christ was not jealous. Now listen to this. He had all the Father's attention, all the Father's affection, all the Father's love, all the Father's things. And the Father said, I'm going to give it all to you and every other person I put in you, a number that no man can number. He was not jealous at all. Amen. Let them have it. Let them have it all. Let me give it all. He wasn't jealous. He's not harsh. He's so sweet. He is the opposite of proud. You've never met a more humble man. Wait till you meet him. Wait till you meet him. Moses, man, was Moses God's man? I mean, a type of Christ. This scripture says Moses was the meekest man on earth. But a greater than Moses. Wait till you meet him. Just wait till you meet him. You're going to say, no man has ever been that humble. No man. Our Lord, everything about him, so unselfish, so giving. And even to this day, he's not easily angered. He doesn't get angry. You know, how many times a day do I give him reason to get mad at me? I'm going to spank you. He's not easily angered. Christ thinketh no evil. He does not take an inventory of. He does not impute. He does not lay the charge of evil to the one he loves. He doesn't do it. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Will not do it. Why will he not impute sin? Because greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, his brethren. So let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. Continue means remain. It means abide. It means live. Let it live. Let it live. Let brotherly love live. Go with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 9 says, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another." God's already put it in your heart. You do it anyway. You already want to do it. Verse 10, "And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more." You don't need us to tell you and teach you about the love of God. God's already put that in your hearts. We're just encouraging you to increase it more and more. Let it live. That's what he's saying. Let it live. Let it thrive. David said, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment." They poured that oil on his head, that soothing, sweet-smelling oil, and it ran down all the way down. David said, "It's as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." Brethren, dwelling together in unity is soothing. It is sweet smelling. It's as the snow-covered mountains of Hermon that in the spring, that snow melts and it starts sending down rivers of water to the city of Zion. It's just wonderful. It's precious. Life-giving. Brotherly love is the greatest, sweetest thing that a child of God can possess in this flesh, tangibly, while he's here on this earth. Love in Christ. Love in and around his gospel. So we pray, Lord, please, 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 in this congregation, in all the congregations, between the congregations, we're one family. Remind us, Lord, that we are one family. Please let brotherly love continue. Let it continue for our elder brother's sake, for Christ's sake. And I won't make you turn. We were going to close with this, but he said, "By this," in John 13, 35, "by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." That's the way. May the Lord let it be so.